You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, he really has been a little bit pony recently. And
the Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And we've got two teams doubling this forthcoming week in Game Week 28. So, of course, our correspondents are here to talk you through the best FPL assets from Bournemouth and Luton. Let me introduce you to our Bournemouth correspondent, Neil Grover. How are you, Neil?
Doing well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you, mate. And our Luton Town correspondent, Dan Ashby's in. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, not bad. As I mentioned before we started, not as happy as I was before the last time I came on about a month ago, I think.
Yeah, just before losing to Sheffield United. Yeah, that would change some shit for you, mate. Before we talk FPL assets and the form of the two teams, etc., I think we have to first acknowledge and remember why this game is obviously happening now. And I would commonly obviously start with the home team, Neil, but I think I should let Dan have the first word on this in terms of Tom Lockyer, mate. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so obviously Lockyer had a heart attack, was dead for 2:40, and it's because of the great work of Luton and also Bournemouth paramedics, doctors, staff. Philip Billing, I know, was the first at the scene. So, obviously he's done a lot of media recently about promoting to learn the way of saving someone's life. So, and I know since he's been doing that, they've had record numbers check out the website and things like that. So obviously we won't know if he's ever going to play again, but there's some things more important than football at the minute. And I'd just like to thank everyone at Bournemouth for obviously what's happened and how they've reacted to obviously a difficult situation.
Neil, your response to that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever been more proud of my club than how it all went down and how it was dealt with. And like you said, I think Philip Billing in particular deserved a call out for spotting. I mean, from memory, he spotted it straight away and checked for his tongue and all of that good, you know, stuff that needs to happen. So I guess that's maybe the Danish FA did some things post obviously Ericsson.
It's interesting you mentioned pride in that, actually, Neil, because that's how I felt about Tottenham after the Mwamba incident as well. I was very proud to support my football club after that incident, actually, with the way things got dealt with. And I've been quite open and vocal in the past saying, yeah, that because of being there when Mwamba happened, etc., yeah, affected me quite a lot with Ericsson. And then obviously with Ericsson particularly, because it was a player I cared about a lot as well. And also obviously with Tom Lockyer as well. And I think everybody involved in the situation on that day, there's a lot that deserves mass credit. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in football matches that we take for granted. And these incidents, fortuitously, are one in a million, near enough. And in a weird way, this was said a lot after the Mwamba incident, Lockyer was almost in the best place he could be, near enough. In terms of the care he got.
Yeah.
So, pleasingly, he's in a full recovery and a very good state. You could tell, he obviously did interviews I saw before the Manchester United game, Dan. You could tell he wants to play again, but was also pulled at the, there's more important things with his family, etc. Well,
he's due to have, his girlfriend's due to give birth soon. So it's massive priorities away from football. So, yeah, I think it's going to be led by, obviously, medical. And then I'm guessing he'll discuss with his family, because Yeah, he might be safer now because obviously he's got the defibrillator in, I think, similar to what Ericsson is. So, but it's one of those, is it worth the risk? Only he will know that.
Yeah, I suspect it's not because with him as well, it wasn't. And listen, we've seen Christian Eriksen obviously playing again, and doing well while doing so as well. But I think the fact that it wasn't the first time with Lockyer as well, because there was the collapse in the playoff final, has made people doubly scared about him. And I think there was that as well when it happened. Most people who obviously knew enough about him knew it was like, oh, that happened to him 6 months ago. This isn't normal. So at least he's in good health. That's the most important thing. I imagine, Neil, the two clubs both feel quite intrinsically linked anyway because of this historical, for those who don't know, the historical points difference, points deduction story. Can you just detail for people like what that is for people who might not know?
Yeah, so what was it? It would have been 15 years ago now, 14 years ago, something like that. You had three teams that were at the bottom of the league, us, Luton and Rotherham. I think between us we had something like probably 60 points. Did you have 30 that year?
We had 30. I know
Yeah,
that we were basically relegated before ball was kicked.
we had minus 15 that year, and then we had, sorry, minus 17 that year, and I think Rotherham had about the same. So between the three of us, we had 60 points off of us before the start of the season, and this is at the bottom of League Two, so it's not in a great place for any of us, frankly. And I think there was a lot of, much like I guess Everton fans right now feel, like it felt like the whole of the Football League was against us and just wanted us to fuck off, basically. Like there wasn't any help there. There was, we all had a bit of trouble and bad ownership and all of that stuff, and they just wanted rid of us. And now we're both here. I think, I posted in the Slack channel before we before the game, and I said, I posted that gif of Bradley Cooper being with the wings being like, who'd have thought we'd have been here? So yeah, and I think it's both of our clubs are showing sort of, I guess, the dream of the football pyramid, right? That both of us have been, admittedly, Luton have been further down the mire, but both of us have been down there and are now in the Premier League.
So we're all friends, Dan. Is that right?
Yeah, look, yeah, I'm not that bothered by Bournemouth. There's always, like Neil said, there's been that link between us. We played each other a few times in the Championship recently. Normally, always been pretty close game. The game that was abandoned was 1-1. It was a close game, so I'm expecting a pretty similar when we play. It's in 7 days, roughly, 8 days, something
From
like that.
time of recording, it will be eight. Obviously, it's the second game of the double. Obviously, Bournemouth play Sheffield United first, and Dan, you go to Selhurst Park at the weekend as well. Neil, was there anything we learned from that first game? Because obviously, you haven't played each other at Kenilworth Road either.
I mean, I think at the time, and this is going to be something I perhaps we'll talk about as well, is I think we were overawed, at least at the point of where it got called off. I think we were being a little bit bullied physically by Luton, and I think you came out of, from memory, I mean obviously this is what, 4 or 5 months ago, I think you came out of the like traps really, really quickly. And it kind of, my feeling was, once, because you scored again, I think you scored quite early, and
It's
then
like
it,
third minute or something.
yeah, and I kind of
Everyone
felt that,
remembers who scored for Bournemouth, but no one remembers who scored for Luton.
yeah.
Bayo.
Cheers, Dan.
And I think it was, it felt like you out physic you were physically more dominant than us, but I had the feeling that, particularly when we scored, that was turning, and perhaps you were getting a little bit tired.
I think you could say it was changed because you'd literally just scored and then Lockyer. But just. We were making subs though as well, so we've scored a lot of goals in the second half, so it felt like it 1-1 was probably the right score at when it was called off.
Yes, yeah, I agree. So yeah, I think that was something that I'm looking at this time around as well, particularly with Senesi out now, almost certainly from what I've heard. So it will be interesting to see how we cope at the back with that physicality. But yeah, I mean, we kind of, Burnley are not, I know they're not the Burnley of old, but they were still pretty physical at times and we coped with that. So we'll see, I guess.
Dan, you mentioned not as happy as the last time you came on, which was with the ever despondent Tomo. Shout out, mate, if you're listening. His Sheffield United came and beat you. I said to you offline before we started recording, I hope at the end of the season we don't look back and go, shit, Luton only got 4 points from Burnley and Sheffield United. And that might be definitive, because obviously if you've got 12 across that, we're talking about a very different position in the league. And not everybody's beaten both twice. But that, and then the defeats afterwards, including Villa, obviously, at the weekend, must have been gutting as well, mate.
Yeah, it's... We've had a lot of these games, though. Liverpool, Arsenal, it's just the same story. I think we put so much effort in that we're just making silly mistakes as well, especially since Sheffield United game. You could probably say about 70% of our goals have been caused by like individual errors. Like even just looking back at the Villa game, free header for Watkins' goal. The second one, they switch off. Although what I would like to mention for the second goal is the ref had just booked Burke, so he was out of position. So he didn't let Burke get back into position, which obviously didn't help. And then the third one, Kabore switched off for about the fourth time, and it's costing us a goal at the back stick. So it's just more we're doing silly mistakes. Like our defenders aren't defending properly. Like for two of the three goals against Sheffield United, Gabe Osho gets caught on the ball. Like all he's got to do is defend properly. Two of those goals don't happen. The other one was a penalty, which we scored a penalty as well. I don't know what penalty is anymore. So once you've given one, you probably can't give the other one.
I mentioned that in front of Neil, will you?
So yeah.
Neil's had one in about 20 years, haven't you, Neil?
Yeah, I've aged significantly. I was clean shaven when we won the last penalty.
We're just making really bad individual mistakes. And then we've now got a really bad injury list now, where we've got 5 centre backs out, we've got 2 centre mids out, we've got Adebayo out, Jacob Brown out. So yeah, not 9 players out. So it's not ideal at the minute.
These next 3 games, Dan, including Forest, which is a big game, obviously, it's almost the biggest of all in game week 29. How many points do you think you need from those 3 to give yourself a real chance of staying up here? Or does it not matter? Is it still too early?
Oh, no, it matters now. I'd say 4 points minimum, and we probably can't lose to Forest. I said to my dad going into before Villa, we probably need 6. So I don't know. It's really hard though. We don't know if the points deduction with Forest. So it's really tricky. Like if they get 6 points, then they're 2 behind us.
What do you make on that? I mean, presumably as a Luton fan, you're sitting there thinking, give them 10 points. How do you feel about all this with the knowing that the appeal might not get resolved till the season's over and stuff? It's a nonsense.
I done my spiel, didn't I? And so, yeah, you know where my view is. They have to get deducted the points. I think it was right for Everton to get some back. Like, you can't be deducted 10 points when administration's 9. That's just ridiculous. So, it'll just be interesting. They've got a guideline now. Do they just make it 6 and then make it? They've got a guideline.
I suppose in a weird way, they're going back to the games. Like if you were to win at Palace and Bournemouth, but then lose to Forest, it almost cancels itself out. In the roundabouts way, if you lose the 2 in the double, but then beat Forest, it's almost effective the same if that's your competitor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's weird. Although we're not, like, I think we're only 5 behind Brentford, and so 6. Yeah, we're not completely out of it of these. So.
No. I don't think you're out of it at all. I think probably just reflect on, like, if you've had them 3, even just them 3 Sheffield United points back on.
Oh
the
yeah,
board.
It's massive.
Yeah, absolutely. And it felt like we'd hit that point when you played Sheffield United. We all thought you'd beat because you'd been playing really well in in the run up to that as well. Neil, how do you see it as a neutral in terms of their chances of staying up?
I said it at the start, and I still think they will do it. I think the points deduction, unfortunately, and given what we said earlier in the podcast, unfortunately, I think that will have more bearing than it probably should for the fans' sake. But I think Luton stay up. I haven't decided who will go down, but I think, yeah, certainly don't feel safe just yet.
Do you not?
No, because we've got to play Luton twice, and if we lose both those games to Luton, we're 5 points ahead of them.
Yeah, but if you take 6 points across the next 8 days or so, you're challenging for Europe, aren't you?
I mean, look, if we win both the games this double game week, then I think I will sit there and go, yeah, okay, we're probably safe now. But because we've got those two games to play against Luton, if we lose both of them, it just drags us right back into it. And Andoni said it himself. So we've still got a lot of teams down at the bottom to play, which is going to be really helpful, but it can also hurt, right? If you drop points, you end up there. Every game's a 6-pointer.
How many points do you think you get to, Dan, irrespective of anyone else? You're on 20.
I think we'll need 35.
That's 4 points for you, Neil, to get the 35.
That's before deduction, so we might not need 35, but
Neil's not getting deducted any though, is he? My point is
no.
You're going to be fine, Neil. Yeah, there's no drama for you there, mate. Again, it'd be teams below you getting taken points off probably as well, right? So it might even be Forest that's like further behind.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, if they, let's say they do get it and then it's six or more, then yeah, okay, that changes things again. But there's just part of me that that says, okay, yeah, if you put all of a sudden Luton on 26 points, that's not a massive gap. But yeah, you're probably right. But I being a Bournemouth fan, I can't say at this point, oh yeah, we're definitely safe.
Like, yeah, well, after the game next Wednesday, you might be above Chelsea.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah, most of the rest of us would probably quite enjoy it as well, actually, other than perhaps some people that might be rivals of Bournemouth, perhaps, I should imagine. Actually, Newcastle fans would quite enjoy that, considering their trip there on Monday night as well. Let's get into the fantasy chat then. First question, Mr. Grover. Mm-hmm. Is the chip getting played on Dom?
Yes. I've built everything, so I wildcarded last week due to, I think I had 6 or 7 injuries in the end going into last game week. So I'm now in a situation where I have triple Bournemouth. I need to make a sub because unfortunately I had Senesi. I will be triple Solanke. I think he's just the obvious choice if you haven't played it yet.
What would have to happen between now and Saturday morning to make you change your mind on that? Like, should we be concerned about this injury that we now know he's been carrying since New Year's Eve?
No, he plays. I think, as I've alluded to as well, I think Andoni feels like this is the week where we can become essentially mathematically safe. And then we can start to then use the rest of the games to be looking upwards. I just don't see a situation where Solanke is rested at all. He might come off towards the end, maybe in the second game, if the job's done, but I think he starts both and will more than likely play 180 minutes.
With two obviously very attractive home games, but you've only won 3 at home, Neil.
Sure, but...
Is that partly down to the fixtures, though? Like, having a glance, you've still got to play your remaining home games, the Sheffield United, Luton, Everton, Palace, Manchester United, Brighton, Brentford. So mm-hmm. There's nothing there to be overly scared of. Is that the reason why you've only won 3 home games?
I think it's a mixture of two things. So as we spoke about when I think first or second time I came on, we had a stinker of a start and that didn't help. Since then, we haven't really had like a really nice, like juicy home game with the exception of Burnley that was a must win. Like we haven't played, like you said, we haven't played those teams around us at home. So the games where you would expect us to be favourites at home, we haven't played those yet. So I think there's an element of that. I think we've shown what we can do at home against City. I frankly thought we were very unlucky not to get a point against them. I think that will change. I think we'll, I, Yeah, I mean, you've got to think we'll win at least one of these two, hopefully, right?
I mean, we drew 1-1 at home to Forest recently. It's not that long ago.
No, no.
And that was quite an uninspiring day for Solanke, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly, as we now know, has been carrying something. I think there's been a general malaise in the squad anyway. I don't know what it is. We always seem to have a little bit of a month in February. We always have. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, new players coming in. I know we didn't have lots of them, but there was a little bit. So February always tends to be a bit of a weird month. But yeah, I mean, I think we'll be okay. I think we've had a couple of players simultaneously going through like a bit of a rough patch, like Tavernier, that hasn't helped as well. So we'll be coming out of that.
We'll get back onto the other players. Solanke didn't score at Sheffield United either when he won 3-1 there. Mm-hmm. He didn't score at Burnley last weekend. No. I'm just playing devils here. Is there any trend here at all?
I think with the away games in particular, we against Burnley, we played a different style to what we would usually play, and we let them have, I think very deliberately, let them have more of the ball to kind of let them pass it around. Now, okay, there was an element of we still looked a bit rubbish, but I think there was a game plan there. And they looked, it kind of felt a little bit, I didn't at any real point feel like we were going to lose that game. I think away when we did that, whereas versus at home where we can be a little bit more front footed, and that does suit the high press a little bit more. And then that in turn suits Solanke as well.
Okay. So you're triple captain, Dom, no doubt.
No, unless we get some news that suggests that he won't play for some reason. Yes.
So, Dan, I take it it's Carlton Morris for you at the moment, is it?
I already used my triple captain on Haaland. Okay. I don't have Morris. I have Barkley and obviously Dowie. You have to have him.
Do you think you'll be captain this week?
I don't know. I'm debating whether to bring in Morris for -4. I'm definitely bringing Son in. It's between Bowen or... but I'll probably captain Solanke, to be honest.
Okay. Tomo's not here, our Sheffield United correspondent, but he's very quick every week in Slack to tell all the patrons to captain whoever is playing Sheffield United every week. He was about 3 minutes in telling everyone about Saka. I've told you, I hope you've done it. And on Monday night, and I'm fairly certain he'll be going Solanke this week. That's my full intention as well. I think if I still had the triple captaincy left, yeah, I probably would do it as well. I think
what you said as well on the main pod, that okay, he might miss, like that's a danger, but you always, it's always gonna be at the back of your head that Solanke could absolutely pop the heck off here, and like one of the games gets a hat trick, and then all of a sudden it's an absolute, you know, it's a rank changer, right?
Well, I don't think it necessarily is going to be. It will be for triple captainers, no doubt. And for those who just captain, I mean, it's going to be so heavy, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference. There will be a pool of people, though, Dan, who are determined to obviously head towards game week 29, and Solanke becomes an extra transfer that avoids getting an additional player in 29. But by the way, he gets you an extra fixture this week. But for those determined, I've seen a lot of people talking about like Haaland to Morris at the moment. I mean, are you considering that sort of move? Sounds madness when I say it out loud.
Yeah, because I'm wild carding game week 30, so it's 3-4-1 fixture. So we've had Adebayo. Well, he's a doubt. Let's put it that way. It's Morris is going to play on penalties. He's back to his best. I don't know what happened during the season. He can't have been fit because he looks like a completely different player at the minute. He's good at, he will assist or score goals as well. He can do either. So, yeah, it's definitely an option. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he scored 2 or 3 in the next few weeks, a few game weeks.
I suppose anyone who was free hitting this week would go to both, would go Morris and Solanke and one more, whatever, that's the choice, or go five in midfield, maybe even. I think if you're free hitting, it would be an easy week to go without Haaland as well. And I think, yep, you're right, Dan. If people know that they're wild carding in game week 30, or even if they're 31, maybe if you want to get away with Haaland not playing Arsenal, then yes, there's a case for it. What really bugs me about the idea about it is game week 30, and I particularly want to look at Morris against my team, and I realise my team give up chances, but just psychologically, you think, oh, I can have something better than that. And it might be that I'm missing Solanke against Everton for me going through 29 because I've sold him perhaps for Tony in 29. So I don't see me going for Morris. I haven't got either sitting here right now, but Solanke is obviously a definite. Talk to me about centre side, Neil. He's got no chance, has he? From what we know, it's Tuesday night at the time of recording.
Yeah, so there was a report, an Argentine reporter that reported earlier that he's out for, I think, 4 to 5 weeks. So that puts him Crystal Palace.
And he just had his first call-up, hadn't he?
No, he's had call-ups before.
Oh, for Argentina, has he, yeah?
Yeah, I think he's had okay. Two or three. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that does kibosh that. So, which is a real shame, because I think he's earned it. So that's a shame for him, but I think there's no chance he plays for this week, and probably misses Everton as well, which is annoying, because that's what needs to be my transfer now.
It's doubly annoying because nearly all of us be sitting over an Arsenal defender looking at City away as well, and a lot of us will have Doughty away to Tottenham, but that doesn't look great either, so he's particularly annoying.
It's not a problem, he'll get attacking number 10.
I don't know. Danny, probably get a trick at my place now. You should imagine. Probably be about 5-all, mate. Have you got Senesi as well, Dan?
I know. I debated about bringing him in. I just think Luton will score.
Like, you think Sheffield United will score, though?
I mean, they could do. You never know. No, in all seriousness, it's more... It's a centre-back, in it. I didn't really want it. I'd rather have an attacking full-back. And as I need players for 29 as well, I wasn't overly keen by it, to be honest.
Those, Neil, that are committing to free hit 29, though, are surely, if they've already got Doughty, because I think Doughty is obviously a great debate to go Doughty instead if you haven't got, but those who are free hitting in 29 are surely just going to another Bournemouth defender, aren't they?
Yeah, I think you're going to Kirkus.
Tell us why Kirk is over Zabani or Mepham or Smith.
So I think Zabani is the vanilla option. Like, he will play 180 minutes. He's played every minute for the team this year. So you could potentially, I guess, bank, let's say, 8 points there. Whereas he's not going to get you any attacking returns. Kirkes will play, obviously, as that left-sided fullback. He hasn't done... He's looked in flashes quite good, but he just hasn't returned yet. But I think if you're ever going to back a player like that to, you know, finally find a Solanke or someone, with respect, the Sheffield United defence perhaps is the one that... At home is the one that he will. So I think the upside is there for him. I think Smith hasn't got the pace that he once had, so he's not getting forward as much. But I think he will play as well. And then it's a little bit around who's the other centre back is. It's probably Mepham, but it depends on Kelly, who could return. I think what it does do, though, the Senesi injury, is it means that if Kelly does return, he returns as the centre back as opposed to the left back.
Yeah, that's what's kind of changed from before this weekend, is now that Kelly, in your opinion, would be ahead of Mepham as a centre back. Therefore, Kirkes would stay at left back rather than before we were worried about Kirkes minutes because of Kelly being directly a problem for him, because Senesi and Zabani would play together. Right, that makes sense. I have one caveat question, and I mentioned it on Monday's podcast as well, Dango Ouattara.
Yeah, I think that would be quite a, pardon the phrase, left field decision to do that suddenly.
But it was when he did do it, and it worked, Neil.
He did, but that was due to injury more than anything else. That was a move of requirement rather than a move of, whereas Kirkes is a left back. That's what his position is. I think Dango was wonderful there, considering that, you know, he's never played at left back before. He played against you guys. I think he did very well, and it did actually save us some money in January, I think, because I think left back or would have been on the cards. But no, I don't see it unless, again, there's an injury somewhere. But I don't think you can plan for Dango being there.
Do you own Doughty?
I do, yes.
If you didn't, would you go for Kirkez over Doughty?
Probably not, because Doughty has the known attacking return, whereas you're kind of you're hoping that Kirkez can replicate what he can. But I think Doughty, we've seen the proof in the pudding this year. I intend to have both, frankly.
So are we saying Dan Doughty across the two teams would be the outstanding defender for this one game week specifically? Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, I think so. I know we haven't kept a lot of clean sheet, but we're playing against Palace and Bournemouth. You might get one clean sheet, and we saw it just at Villa. Like, when he went to left wing back, his set piece delivery is ridiculous.
He's probably not going to play left side centre back again, is he? I mean, that doesn't matter from a dead ball perspective. By the way. But
No. I think Cascioca come in and done really well there, actually. And he should have got another one. Morris should have scored exactly the carbon copy, and he'd have got more. So, yeah, I think he's so attacking. He's basically playing as a left winger.
I mean, if you were to score, I don't know, what's par for Luton this week? Two away games? Two goals?
Two probably, three, probably.
But 2-3, probably par for the week. If you get two, does he get anything? If you get three, I almost expect him to be involved, maybe. But at the same time, as well as you saying, is every chance he gets you an attacking return, Neil's team's got Sheffield United at home at the weekend. And everybody's just looking at them at the moment going, clean sheet, clean sheet, clean sheet. Chris Wilder's comments after the game on Monday night suggested that he's potentially going to strip that back and throw a few kids in for the rest of the season. And that obviously could have a positive impact, or it might even have a negative impact. We don't know. But as well as going, I think Doughty could get an attacking return this week, most of us would probably back you for a clean sheet at the weekend, Neil. Or from a team perspective, is centre size absence really big here? Just removing the fantasy element, like, how big of a miss is he for you?
I think it will be more so for the Luton game because of that physicality. I think Mepham will be, you know, is a fine deputy. He did well against Burnley. Got you know, some plaudits, and rightly so. I do think it does lower the chance that we would get two clean sheets, which, you know, that's the dream in a double game week. But I still think we get at least one from the two games. I've also got Neto as my keeping option, because I think he rotates outstandingly well with Flecken for the rest of the season.
If you're making this decision on a Bournemouth player, and I see this keep coming up because a lot of questions I'm getting, how do I know if Bournemouth are going to double in game week 34? Well, I can't tell you factually at this moment, kids, sorry. But I see people planning that far in their thinking. And to be fair, Neil, you've got great fixtures up till there. Like, you go to Villa in 34, but if you add another fixture in there with Wolves, it's a double. But all the fixtures all before that are good. Mm-hmm. Reasonable enough to the extent that you could play a Bournemouth defender in any of them, actually, if it comes to it. So if we're looking that far ahead, you said centre side what drew back for Palace, possibly, which is game week 31. If you're making the decision on the Bournemouth defender and you're looking that far ahead, does the decision change? Does this just by default become Zabani then, if you're that desperate for it?
Yeah, I think if you want that player and you think, actually... And I don't know what Zabani's cost is at the moment. I can't imagine he's very expensive.
No, in the 4.5.
Yeah.
4.4, I think. Yeah.
Like, if you want a player like that and you're going to say, right, even if you just play him, I mean, we've got in that run up to Villa, we've got three home games. More than that. But after the double here, we've got three home games. We've got loads of home games. We've got the double home game.
The run
here
is amazing, Neil.
Yeah.
It's double blank. Everton at home, Palace at home, Luton away, Manchester United at home. Then it might be double.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't hate that, to be honest. And then Brighton at home as well after that.
But therefore, that's what I'm saying. If you're looking that long term, it's got to be Zabani, is it?
Yeah, but again, I agree with that. But this is why I brought Neto in, because I mean, you could quite easily just play him on all of those, right?
Okay. Therefore, yeah, if I said to you, pick a defensive player this week for Bournemouth if you're free hitting, including the goalkeeper, is it Neto?
Yes.
Okay. For you, Dan, it would obviously be Doughty, I take it.
Yeah. No problem.
Okay. On this injury list of yours, Dan.
Yeah.
Can we expect any of these flag players back? So Amari Bell, I'm guessing, although it's only yellow flag at the time of recording, is going to be a no, isn't it? Probably.
I mean, he should never have started, should he?
He doesn't look like it, mate. No. Gabriel Osho. I quite like him, actually.
I mean, he's been all right, but he's cost us 3 goals lately.
Corrected.
He's... I don't know. It's a bit... It was weird. He... Against the Man City, he was on the bench. They were going to bring him on, and then they changed their mind and they brought on the young Johnson, who was ill, over him. And then in the press conference, Edwards said he's out injured. So we sort of don't know the timeline for that.
So back three, what do we think there? Is it by default? Is it going to be Burke, Mengi, and you're going to force Ashioka in as the left-sided centre-back, are you?
I think so, yeah. We've got no one else. We've got, like I said, 5 centre-backs out. Lockie is out, Osho's out, Bell's out, Anderson's out, Potts out.
Listen,
even the youngster, Johnson, I think he'll go Ashioka.
People want to know how they can afford Haaland, Salah, Watkins, Son, Saka, all in the same team. Get your treble loot and defence, kids, for 11.9. It's your way forward. Could anyone genuinely look at any of them for their centre side replacement, Dan? Say you've already got Doughty, hypothetically.
I wouldn't bother.
Naturally, people who aren't free hitting in 29 are going to be drawn to it a bit. I've already said no, personally.
No, unless you need the budget, but I don't know why you would, because you've probably got money anyway. But it's probably Mengi, but I'm not sure you'd go there.
Okay. Wing backs, I guess we can't guarantee the same team in both, but back to Doughty and Ogbeni, you think? Or is it... Or will Kabore play?
It's going to have to play. Townsend didn't do enough. I'd put Ogbeni out right wing. Kabore, he was a nightmare, but he was defensively, but he looked quite good going forward. I think, though, if someone like Adebayo comes in, Kabore will be the first one out the side.
Okay.
And Ogbeni would go.
If Adebayo's not fit, because I've realised that probably means Ogbeni's got to play a bit more advanced, what would you say expected minutes across the double for Kabore? Because there'd be a lot of people maybe still got him rather than wanting to buy him.
Yeah, it's really hard because Adebayo's, he's over 2 weeks since he tweaked his hamstring. Well, if it's just a tweak, a hamstring's normally 2 to 3 weeks. There was a photograph of Lokonga and Adebayo on exercise bikes. So whether Edwards Edwards will tell you he's fit, I'm not sure about that.
Right,
but
okay.
I think Kabore, I think, will play, but like I said, he'd probably be the first one I'd look to get out, to be honest.
Jacob Brown's long term, isn't it? So's Nakamba. Have we got anything definitive on Lokonga? Because he's a huge miss for you.
So initially he posted on Instagram he was out till April. He quickly took that down, and then a day or two later they said it's not as bad as first thought. And like I mentioned, he's been pictured with Adebayo on exercise bike. I'll be surprised if he's back for the double. Yeah. Okay. He might be back for Forest, maybe.
So if you were, as it stands now, the team for Palace away, based on what you're saying, if I can have a guess here, would be Kaminsky in goal, obviously, sort of Mengi, Burke and Hashioka. You're talking about Doughty and Kabore, therefore.
Yeah.
Barkley and Clark. Yeah. You're saying, therefore, what, Ogbeni and Chong off of Morris?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Obviously, we do have Townsend. But he didn't do anything.
You weren't impressed. No, he was quiet. Okay. I'm going to do an A or B with you in a minute, Neil, because I think this is probably an interesting one, but I'm going to do it first with Dan. So in the first instance, Dan, if someone said to you, I want to buy Clark or Chong, you would
Ooh.
say.
So Chong's playing further forwards, but his minutes might not be as good as Clark. I think if you're chasing upside, you'd have to go Chong.
Barkley over Chong?
Yeah, Bartley over Chong.
Why? Is it not a concern about him being deeper now with this Lokonga injury?
He is a little bit deeper, but Bartley can run through the middle, slide through a player, have a shot from 20 yards. He also scored a couple of goals from corners, so his aerial threat. And he is on some free kicks if it
Yeah.
suits
If it's a
a
right
right,
footer,
right
yeah.
foot. Yeah.
So Barkley, Chong, Clark would
Yeah.
be your order if you were going into one of the Luton midfielders. Okay. Right. So this should be fun, Neil, because
Oh boy.
what's amazing about this is this has been, it's become such a thing, like over this week or so, which Bournemouth midfielder and stuff. And you and I have been discussing this every time we spoke since pre-season. When we looked at your fixtures at the start, we went, I can see it now. We're going to get to game week 8 or so, and it will be which midfielder, which Bournemouth midfielder, because one of them, they're all so cheap, one of them is surely going to be good. We got there and we went, we have to wait. Then you come back on before Christmas, we went, still a bit complicated at the moment. Like Kluivert's really enabling, but I'm a bit not sure about his minutes. Then it come round again, it's like, no, wait. And now they're all fit. Some of them are in form, some of them aren't in form. Perhaps some of the more traditional, obvious options might be the ones that are out of form. Tyler Adams is your only player from your midfielders and forwards listed in FPL who now has a flag as it stands. I'm going to give you some A or Bs, Neil.
Yeah.
Let's start with Christie or Cook if someone wanted to have that debate.
I'm gonna go Cook purely because Christie is bit came off half time against
Illness, wasn't it?
Burnley. Yeah, illness. So I presume he's fit, but I mean, don't go either. But
Okay.
Cook just because, yeah.
That's what I thought you'd say. So let's look at the team therefore that played at the weekend. Kluivert or Tavernier? Is this the main dilemma?
I think so. I think so. The issue with Tavernier is I always feel, and I think this is a general feeling as well, he's better on the right, but he's been playing on the left. And some of the misses that he had against Burnley, and it's not just against Burnley, he's been going through a rough patch, I think it's fair to say.
I keep hearing this.
He's not been at his sparkling best, and I think when he is, he's fabulous. But I wonder if it's his, he might get a little bit of a rest this time because. So the reason he plays over some of the others is because he's a bit more defensively minded, right? And
Yeah.
he can play at left back. Again, with respect to the opposition, particularly on Saturday, do we need to protect Kerkez? Or can we play someone like Sinisterra, who is a much more attacking threat? So I think because of that, I've talked myself into Cliver. I think he's been a lot more aggressive recently as well, and has had five or six returns recently, but minutes. But I think he's starting the games, so I'd go him.
Which one do you think played more minutes in the double game week? Tavernier or Kluivert? Forget
Cliver.
returns, just minutes for the moment.
I think Cliver because I think Sinisterra is there knocking on the door.
But isn't
And
someone
Dango.
like, isn't Billing knocking on the door? Can't Scott play that position the same as what Kluivert's playing at the moment?
He
I
can.
thought we'd get here and we'd be talking about Alex Scott a lot, and we're
So did
not.
I. Yeah. Scott has been a weird headache for Andoni. He has. I hoped he would be able to play in that sort of, that linchpin role, but he hasn't really done so well there. And Christie has done far, far better than I thought he would this season, as has Cook. So I think that's caused a little bit of a headache. a good headache, I will say. So Scott hasn't had the run that he needs to do what he needs to do. He's also had a few injuries, as we all know. I just think that Kluivert at the moment, while he is being taken off early, I think he will start. There's no reason why he doesn't start. And he scored again on against Burnley. I think he starts and behind Solanke, and I think he's got a good chance of a return.
Neil,
can I just jump in?
Please go, Daniel.
It was quite evident that Phil Billing changed the game when he came on against Luton.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is just looking from the outside. I wonder if they played Billing in the 10 against Luton.
He has got the physicality that I think would work well for that, so possibly I mean, again, it's this is the headache, right? But I just think Kluivert is the holder of that position at the moment, and he is returning, so I just think that would be a difficult move for him to make.
But Kluivert was a player who, if I had a wild carded at certain points, he definitely would have gone in as the eighth attacker. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth remembering that price there, that if this goes wrong with him, then it's 4.6, and it's not that you can't bench Tavernier, etc. But, you know, for the example, those who are not with Salah at the moment and are thinking, I need to get Mo back in a couple of weeks, that little difference of that 0.8 might be part of what carries you there. If you're saying Tavernier's out of form, I think I'd rather go down the Kluivert route, punt it, and although I'd like to play him in the forthcoming games after the blank game week, because your fixture runs so good, it's almost like ideal for that period as the eighth attacker. I can leave him. And if I do need him, brilliant. I've got an injury, whatever, he's there. Rather than almost forcing myself into the, I've got to get the right Bournemouth midfielder for 28 and 30 to 34. Because, I mean, that's perfect summary, Dan, what you said there. Such a great point on Billing playing Luton. Are you playing in 30, Neil? Everton. Might be Billing again.
Possibly.
Kluivert can play wide, by the way, can't he?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, there's every possibility that you play him. Maybe you put him on the left. You sacrifice Tavernier and you put Billing as the number 10.
Possibly. But also, you're going to have the likes of Sinisterra and Otara, presumably, going to be knocking down the door this week, going, I'm getting some minutes this week, surely.
Yeah. I think the one I would love to be able to recommend is Sinisterra, because we all know what he can do and what he did for Leeds. He's the player that I would love to say he's going to get the run in the team. I think it'll be really interesting as well, because now he's signed on a permanent deal. I do wonder if, as things start to get a little bit safer for us, maybe he does just start to go, you know what, let's experiment, let's get crazy, let's, you know, and that's when Sinisterra gets a run. But
let's play the player we're buying.
Yeah.
So revolutionary.
Novel idea. But yeah, I mean, I think I would not be surprised at all to see Sinisterra this week, because why would you not attack them?
Okay. It's very difficult to hypothesize about what team you're going to start with in the Luton game next week, because there's another game to come before it. Dan, it's a little bit easier with your team at the moment because you haven't got as many options, frankly. There were a number there for you, Neil. I think the best question I can ask you at this stage, Neil, is which, if we just take it, this, it's Cook and Christie and Scott, two of those three, which three do you, behind Solanke, do you think will start on Saturday against Sheffield United?
Semenya? Kluivert. I think it will be Tavernier, but I really want to see Sinisterra.
A lot of people already bought Tavernier, Neil.
I know, and I would love to be able to sit here and say with all confidence what this is what the three is going to be, but yeah, he really has been a little bit pony recently, and I think we've seen, as we saw with Neto, I think when I spoke to you about him, was it last time I was on, I said he gave him a rest and you know, let him have a bit of a break, and that worked.
If you were free hitting this week, Neil, do you think you'd go double defensive or double offensive? I presume you'd go free Bournemouth, right? Surely.
Yeah, yeah.
Double defensive or double offensive?
Defensive with Neto.
So you go Neto, Kerkez, Solanke.
That's what I intend to roll with as well.
Okay, good. If Semenyo was a midfielder, Would that be the one?
Yes.
Bullshit, that, isn't it? I mean, they classified him right, by the way. He was right to be classified as a forward based on what we'd seen previously.
He'll be a midfielder next year, I'd imagine.
He will be a midfielder next year. He won't be 4.5, you know, and he probably won't play as much either. Should probably buy some new players. Yeah, it's hard work. Dan, if you were free hitting this week, free Bournemouth in mind, what do you think you'd go?
Free ball. Neto, probably the same, Kirkus and Solanke.
Okay, and if you were free Luton, I assume Doughty Morris, who's going as the third?
Markley.
Over Kaminski, yeah?
Yeah, that's probably close, but I just don't think we'll keep clean sheets.
Would you, Dan, take a minus four this week to sell Phil Foden and buy Ross Barkley?
I think it depends what you're doing in 29.
Not free hitting. So it would be useful in 29. Let's add that.
Yeah, I think I would.
Would you do it if it also meant benching someone like Bailey or Madison this week?
I'm going to be benching Bailey, so probably.
Okay. Interesting.
You don't feel good about it.
No, I part ask because I know I'm not the only one with this sort of dilemma. Like, if my bus team now would be Foden on the bench, that's absurd. No, I'll take a minus four for like Ross Barkley or Marcus Tavernier or Justin Glover. That makes no sense when the midfield looks strong. And I realise it won't for anybody, everybody. Would you, Neil, under the circumstances of what we discussed about your midfielders, could you recommend a minus four for any of them? Say someone's got a real problem when, all right, yeah, I'm selling someone who's proper shit and I'm going to take a minus four for Cliver. Would you recommend that sort of thing? Or is it, are we overlooking people like Kudos, for example, who's got a good fixture this week and has got a game in 29? Are these players still better than the midfielders from your team for now?
I think, presuming that you're not someone that needs to take a punt, because I do think there is a world where Cliver, if we're presuming that Solanke can go off this week, Cliver is the most likely to be the one that's just giving him those assists. Or scoring with Solanke assists. So I think there is a world where he does really, really well. Don't think it's a likely world, but I think there is a world. So if you're perhaps having, if you, you know, you want to have a go and you feel like you're at that point in the season, maybe. But if you're a normal player in sort of a normal rank, no. I think that would, you're setting yourself up for issues. Okay. Particularly as we don't play next week.
Let's end with this fancy question on the midfielders then. Hypothetical scenario. You want to buy a midfielder this week, Neil, and you're free hitting in game week 29. So the fact that you blank doesn't matter.
Yep.
You don't own Cole Palmer. Do you buy Cole Palmer or do you buy your best choice of Bournemouth midfielder?
I think I would do Palmer still.
Dan, similar scenario. Let's say you're free hitting in 29, so you don't get the addition. Is it Palmer or Barkley?
Probably Palmer against. I've seen Luton score four past Newcastle.
I think there's even a debate to say Palmer, even if you're heading towards 29, because Palmer's got Burnley at home in 30 as well. So you'd almost inevitably be going Barkley to Palmer maybe in 30. Would that be fair, Dan? If the money's available, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that sums it up, doesn't it? For the majority of the midfielders that, yeah, don't overlook the and a lot of people will own Palmer, I know, but there are other midfielders at similar values I don't think should necessarily be overlooked. Yeah, I think you summed it up well, guys. Thank you both very much. Neil, particularly good luck with your triple captaincy, mate. And Dan, particularly good luck to you with the battle to stay up, mate. I think most neutrals would like you to do it, mate. So good luck. Let's do predictions. Neil, Sheffield United at home. Guess the correct score, mate.
3-0 to us, obviously.
And Luton next week?
2-1 to us.
5-1 over the two, yeah?
Yeah.
Dan, Palace away Saturday?
2-1 Luton.
Bournemouth away next week?
1-1.
That would be a good week, mate. Good luck. Thank you both very much. Neil, anything you want to plug before we finish, mate?
Nope, nothing from me.
And for you, Dan, I know there is, so go.
Yeah, just the normal. I'm part of the EFL Fantasy Podcast with Angus. It's in relation to the Gaffer game, obviously, with crazy end to the season. Top four can all get promoted, can all win the league. And then you've got about 12 teams who could realistically get relegated. So, yeah, bonkers season in the Championship. And I know it's late in the season, but just come on. And even if you haven't played, just try
brilliant
it.
Game, Gaffer, honestly. Takes, you know, yeah, FPL sucks the life out of you sometimes. Gaffer does it in a different way, though, because sometimes you look at your score, oh, I got 120 this week.
Yeah.
Oh, I got red arrow. it's a different sucking the life out of you.
A boost at the weekend and got 300 points.
No way.
Yeah, triple, 300 points.
Send me a screen grab of that team. Good luck, gents. Thank you both so much. And yes, please do support the guys at the EFL Fantasy Pod and the Gaffer game. Next week, Clash of the Correspondents. Next Thursday is West Ham against Aston Villa ahead of the blank with Chris Stone and Lee Jackson. So should be back with me tomorrow on Thursday for the Sky Fantasy Football Podcast. This leaves me to say thanks so much to Neil and Dan. Good luck, gents. And good luck to everyone in Game Week 28. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.